sharing experiences, providing insight, and looking for solutions to become better hunters. Whether you're chasing bugles over the next ridge, sitting a stand out east, this is about passion, pursuing our dreams of field, our lifestyle, the betterment of self and community, the enlightenment that comes from those moments spent in God's creation. Through these conversations, I hope you find insight, inspiration, education, and motivation to push beyond your limits.
That is some shit. It's like French, bro. Yeah. What is it?
It's French. Yeah. My family's from New Orleans.
Oh, you Creole.
Yeah, buddy.
This guy, he puts French Red Hot on everything.
Bro. Ah, fuck you, man. No, we don't use careful. That shit. All right. So we're red hot. No pun intended. That was full on pun right there, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm on with Phil Mendoza and Abe Arian, the gentleman behind Mile High Hunt Expo. Super excited to talk about the expo, guys. Super excited for the expo. So let's get into it. Why don't we do a little bit of some intros here? Abe, why don't you kick it off and then Phil jump in? We'll just do a brief intros and then we'll get rolling and talk about the expo. Man, it's knocking down doors pretty quick here.
Well, I don't know what you want me to say on my intro. You already introduced my name, Abe Arian, with the Mile High Hunt and Fish Expo. And we're excited to finally bring a legit hunting and fishing expo to Colorado. So there's my intro. On a side note, I also own a truck dealership called Truck King. So if you want a badass truck, I can also help you with that. Look us up. Phil?
Yeah, Phil Mendoza, Mile High Hunt Expo, right? Partner, co-founder. Excited for that. Also, No Limits Archery. We've been in the Denver area since 2009 with that. And I am also very excited with the project at hand, right? With what is the Mile High Hunt Fish Expo, because long overdue, my friend, long overdue.
Absolutely. What? All right. So we'll talk dates, but I got, you know, specific questions. So we kick off Friday, April 5th and we run through, Sunday, April 7th. Why Mile High Hunt? What made you guys go, you know what? We got to do something.
Phil, go ahead with that one.
You know, Being that I had been set up with No Limits at the other trade show and for since 2010, you know, I've been in this area. I'm born and raised here. I feel like I've got a really good grasp on the outdoor space, more on the archery side the last 15, 20 years, but I grew up rifle hunting. I mean, I grew up fishing with my dad, rifle hunting. And, you know, in those early years that I was going to the other trade show around, that they had really good guest speakers. There was things that I was excited to go see. Manufacturers were still there. And I don't want to kind of go down that road too much, just, you know, bashing on anybody else. But the model that is the current offering with what we see is not what Abe and I had a vision for what we wanted it to be. I mean, we've been to many other trade shows across the West and even stuff out in the Midwest. I've been to the ATA show and SHOT show and Western and some of these other shows. And I just kept coming back home to our local market and with my business. And I just selfishly was not happy, you know, and having some connections with the archery world and some of the manufacturers there, you know, Abe and I have other businesses. This is not our first business together. This is actually, you can call it our second, but we have multiple businesses with some land management stuff that we're doing. So we've spent many, many hours in a truck. We've spent many hours in a hotel room, right? And you get to know somebody by bouncing ideas off somebody when you spend that kind of time hunting with them in those road trips and that kind of thing. So I think it was probably January of last year, you know, Abe and I are talking and spitballing on some of these ideas. And I just said that I think I know how to figure this out. You know, I think if we do this and we do this and then he's adding some ideas and, you know, we should consider this. And I just looked at him and I said, I'm doing this. Or you want in or not? You know,
it was
from there, it just kind of, it took place. You know, I reached out. We both knew that having the presentation that the Gaylord could give us with the resort feel, the restaurants on site, all the amenities that hotel has, being as close to the airport as it is. I mean, you can take a shuttle, you can take the light rail from the airport. The Gaylord has a complimentary shuttle twice an hour. So it's like, people that want to travel in and come to that show, it's as easy as it can get coming into Denver. Denver's a super easy place to travel into. So there was just, when I'm starting to look at all the hurdles, I'm like, this isn't a hurdle. This isn't a hurdle. It just needs to be organized, right? It needs to be compartmentalized and organized and presented. And so Abe and I just started working on that. We wanted to focus on manufacturers, man. I mean, the outfitters and guys are super practical and relevant. The companies like No Limits Archery and One Shot Gear and Discount Fishing Tackle, I mean, the middlemen that we are, super relevant. So we want to make sure we built the show with the right balance of manufacturers, of guides and outfitters, of local businesses. The conservation aspect had to be a huge part of it. You know, Colorado's definitely taken a black eye the last few years with a lot of legislative issues that are related to hunting and fishing. And Abe and I are both of the opinion, we don't settle when somebody kind of tells us, this is just how it needs to be, or this is the way. Neither one of us like those answers because they don't make sense, right? We've had far bigger struggles with businesses and other things to have to figure out the solution. And this trade show and this expo weekend and with the banquet and everything, it was just something that needed to be molded and massaged. And Abe, I'll let you kind of add to it from there, man. I mean, I think we just had an idea, and as the days progressed, we've added to it, we've modified it, we've added. And I mean, go ahead, Abe. I mean, what I know I'm missing on a bunch, but.
I mean, here's the deal. You know, Guy, when you look at how many times people tell you, if you want to be successful, find a void and fill it, right? And that was a very small portion of this. I knew it was going to have a high rate of success because it just made sense. And I mean, make no mistake, this was Phil's brainchild originally. This is how it started. He came to me with the idea and basically said, hey, listen, if you want in, let's do this. If you don't, I'm going to do it anyways. So of course, I was like, yeah, you know, let's do it. And we needed this so bad. There was a void there. And we were the guys on that fence that said, man, yeah, we need this. Like, somebody should do this. Somebody should do this. Well, one day it just turns into, you know what? That somebody is us. And we're just going to do it because we don't need to do this to make a living. We need to do this for us. And when I say us, I mean hunters and anglers. Like, we need this for all outdoors women and men, elderly and young. We need this for outdoorsmen and outdoors women that haven't even been born yet. Okay. We need this for all of us. This is in our blood. Those who live to hunt and fish, we're a different kind of people, you know, and people always ask me why you love hunting so much and fishing so much. And I always tell people, to me, fishing is a vacation from hunting season, or it's something for me to do when I can't hunt. So I tournament fish. Yes, sir. But the reality of it is, you know, it's you either got it or you don't. And if you got it and it's in your blood, you can't shake it. Right? This is a part of our identity. So like Phil had mentioned, a large driving factor was that we don't have a place, you know, whatever other shows are in our state, they don't bring anybody together in the sense of, look, we've got legislation jumping down all of our throats, whether you know it or not, and they're coming for us. And Phil came up with this idea called the town hall, which was pretty genius because it gave us a place to put people like Dan Gates and, you know, CRWM and Hal, and bring, you know, real players in the game with a voice and the right intentions and the right reputation, and put them in a room. And look, everybody wants to fundraise. That's all great. We're going to do that as well. But instead of us telling you to just open your pocket, we've structured this expo to where an insane amount of the proceeds of this expo goes directly to conservation. Like, this is not a big money grab for us. We're dumping money into conservation because our state needs it. We're in trouble. And the biggest thing is the awareness and the education. We got to get on the same page. We're all one team. And so our town hall meeting is going to be on Sunday. And that's the serious stuff. And Phil, if you don't mind, I'm going to get into the real juicy stuff real quick. So we have a situation where, I'll put it to you like this. We've thought about this so much that we went as far as partnering with a company like Turtlebox to have music on our expo. Because could you go to these music, these expos, and they're not that fun. It sounds like a funeral, you know? And there's just, there's not a lot of life to them. And so we brought back all the calling contests, number one. So we have elk with several divisions being run by Western Hunt Fest.
Yes,
sir. Those guys are our boys, and I don't think we could have picked a better crew. Those guys are passionate. They're good out callers, and they care about our industry. They care about our future, and they're just good dudes. And so we have NWTF stepped up to run our turkey calling contest. And I mean, that's on who could ask for anybody, mm-hmm. right, better than NWTF. And then I was reached out to a very well-known gentleman in the Midwest named Chance Wadsworth, and he owns Wadsworth Waterfowl Company, and he's won, you know, lots of calling competitions nationally, and he's well structured with them, and he to run to calling contest. So he's going to fly in from the Midwest, and he's running our waterfowl calling contest and all the divisions. And we started, Phil and I, we took an approach to this expo. Phil and I, we agree on a lot of things, and we have very, very, almost eerily similar upbringings. And if there's one thing we don't like, Guy, we don't like cheap people. So we're not going to be cheap people. We hate cheap people. And so we put up $8,500 of our cash just to be straight hard cash prizes in these calling contests on top of badass, you know, prizes. Like, we're not giving you $5 mouthpieces. You're going to win legit prizes here. I'm talking like real legit high-end prizes. And now some of our partners, I got wind, Guy, I'm sure you heard about this, have jumped in and are considering throwing in some cash on top of our $8,500. And we're approaching the $10,000 in hard cash mark right now.
That's going to make people sign up.
Yeah. I talked to Jeff. I don't think we're going to have a problem with people signing up because, no, you know, go ahead.
I was going to say, if we weren't running that elk calling comp, Jeff and I would both be entrants in that.
Oh, I know. We almost said it was good that we kept you two out and got it around your neck. But, you know, at the end of the day, we get a lot of messages. And the one thing about Phil owns two businesses of his own. I own one and a half businesses of my own. And then we have our investments in business or wildlife stuff together. And now this expo. And I can tell you, you know, we don't do anything cheap, and you do everything with passion. And how you know that Phil and I are doing this with passion is we didn't hire anybody. And be honest with you, we don't have time, but we made time in the form of not sleeping, mm-hmm. right, Phil? And we've made time to build the bones and the structure of this expo for longevity so that it's new every year. It's fresh every year. It's fun every year. I mean, we've got manufacturers that have never been to this Colorado before ever coming to this expo year one. And we've got a list of others coming year two. We already have dates for year two. And so this is going to be the funnest expo Colorado has seen in decades.
Heck yeah.
And how you know we're doing this with passion, my point was, is that right now, even this year, if you contact us through any of our social media platforms, we have our emails, our phone numbers out there, our website, you get Phil or I and nobody else. So, you know, we hear directly from the horse's mouth. You better be careful, buddy. I think there's going to be more competitors in that elk calling contest than you think.
That's all right.
We've got a lot of messages about it.
That's all right. So, we already got the schedule dialed and responsibilities dialed in, and we're ready for it, man. We're excited to be a part of that. That's going to be a blast. You know, and you said a bunch that's interesting, and there's a couple of things that stood out when you talk about the exhibitors and some have never been to Colorado. When you look at Colorado across the West, we are one of, if not the most hunted state, or, you know, with the most hunters that come from out of state. So all these products are filtering into Colorado, but there hasn't been a draw for the manufacturers to get here. And it almost feels unfair to a point, right? So you get all this influx of hunters every year. We always complain about it, right? Just about every one of us complains about it. But then it's like, you know, we're forgotten about when it comes to things like this. So I'm pumped, you guys. I can't wait for it. On another end, and I was going to tell you guys. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Continue. And I was going to tell you on that point. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, finish, or you continue, and then I'll. It's another segue. So
just to add to that point, real quick. I think Abe, early on, we talked to a handful of exhibitors that said that Colorado was in their top five of markets to grow into in the hunting and fishing space. Right. So some of these big manufacturers knew that there was a void here already. So with us putting this together, it was like easy connecting the pieces. So sorry, go ahead.
That's beautiful. And then I was going to say the passion part of it, right? I mean, from the first time that we talked, that was obvious to me, right? It was easy to get behind it when Jeff said, hey, we're going to do the call comp. And then I think we talked prior, and then I saw you guys at the Western Hunt Expo in Utah, and it was just like, oh, this is the way it should be, right? This is perfect. We got dudes that love it just as much as us. And then there's something to be said about wanting to bring us together, right? Let's get our community together and let's be the focal point of the weekend. And you look at the god dang show schedule, and there is no shortage of opportunity to go learn, to go grow, to go learn a little bit more about conservation. I mean, you're talking Dan and Charles are there. There's so many activities. I mean, if you just look at Saturday, 10, 10:30, 11, 11:30, everything, hunting and fishing. Bill's there talking about advanced arrow flight. There is a conversation, or excuse me, a seminar you want to listen to if you're concerned with that. I mean, it's just, the list is on and on and on and on. I mean, unreal. And then to understand the level of effort that goes into planning and preparing just to get the itinerary drawn out is just insane what you have to line up. So the passion part of it, boys, it stands out to me. It's badass.
And Guy, if I might add, since for our listeners to know who haven't made it over to the itinerary, you're going to want to cut out a lot of time, because Phil and I made it a point to drag in some of the best names from all over the country and outside of the country to talk hunt. And I mean, we've got everybody from Fred Eichler on Friday. We've got the Phelps guys. We've got, you know, Aaron Snyder, and we've got Jason Matzinger coming in from Montana. We got Cody Robbins from Live the Hunt coming in from Canada. You know, we've got, I mean, the list goes on. You know, I mean, who am I missing? We have, that's just on the main stage, not even just the workshops. I mean, we got Phil Vallejo from Modern Day Sniper. We brought in a ex-military scout sniper who also became a hunter later on in life and owns a shooting school. And this guy's one of the best walking on the face of the planet. You know, he had a strong history with Aaron Davidson and those guys at Gunworks, and those guys put out some of the best guns they are. And Gunworks is coming to our expo as well. So, you know, there's, and Phil, I mean, look, if Phil Mendoza's name is on it, there better be some serious archery companies. And fortunately for Phil and his positive and high integrity presence in the archery world, was helpful for companies like Hoyt and Elite and Prime and G5 and Easton and all these archery companies to come in. And I mean, we got it. Like, how many expos? There's not been an expo in 20, 30 years that you could go in a tunnel, shoot a Hoyt bow or an Elite or a Prime or whatever your bow of choice is, right? So it's not just rifles. We've got the bow guys covered. We've got some shotgun stuff cooking. And it's getting pretty serious, man. I mean,
You're talking method of take, okay? So method of take, the one that interests me the most is 4 p.m. Saturday. And it's Devin Half or Jaff, the freaking falconry, man. I have been, all right, this is some nerd shit. So if I see a falcon somewhere, you know, it's a joke between me and my wife, because I've told her for years, I would love to understand falconry and how to get into that. So I'll see a falcon and I'll put my arm out and she'll look at me and shake her head like, you dumbass.
He's not coming.
Huh? Oh, he's not coming. Yeah. She just looks at me and shakes her head. And I just laugh every day. I mean, I've been doing that shit for years. So I see this on there at 4 p.m. I'm like, what time is our call comp? I'm there, right? Chris Rowe is in on it. I mean, come on. Do you get Do you get any better when you talk elk calling and elk behavior than Chris Rowe? And in my opinion, that's a resounding no. I don't think there's anybody better in the game than Chris when it comes to behavior. I mean, it just, you got Aaron, what, twice? Main stage, and then he's on the main stage again a few hours later. I don't know that you can beat this lineup. And that is just a little bit of Saturday. It's crazy. Absolutely.
And I'll
crazy.
Say, guy, this is a plug right now because I know you're connected. Joe, if you're listening to this from Elk Bros, I'm severely disappointed in you for not showing up for 2024. So you better be there for 25. You know, if we got Chris Rowe, we got to have the Elk Bros too.
You know what's funny with Joe is he's old and he's frugal as all hell. If it costs Joe, yeah, if it costs Joe more than $5.99, that dude is like, how do I get a coupon? And does somebody have a discount code? I should
Joe's New Mexico guy, right?
Yeah, Joe's New Mexico.
Got a bike.
So I've got some family from New Mexico, man, and it was hilarious because the amount of bartering and trading with my family from down in New Mexico, it was always, hey, I'll trade you for a case of beer. Oh, no, not good enough. I'll throw in a couple tires, you know. And it's I'm telling you, it was always comical. My cousins from and my uncles from New Mexico, not all of them, because some of them are actually going to be at the expo. A couple of them are going to be there. They're a high-end outfit, guiding outfit out of New Mexico. I mean, they're running $13,000, $15,000 hunts for elk, you know, and very, very high success rates at that. So funny.
Yeah.
There's some funny aspects to people being a little more frugal, I guess.
Oh man, a little bit.
I have some family in that realm.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but I got some family that way. So
Jeff and I had that conversation nonetheless, last night.
Yeah, we're excited about what the brand's coming in because, you know, the other thing that – and Abe was very persistent with this, I guess, is one of the things. He's like, this needs to be on an invitation or referral basis, period, you know. I think we ended up taking in 10 or 15 exhibitors that emailed and messaged us that we then went and vetted and we went and checked their reviews and we went and, you know, looked their company up and seen what they're – seen how long they've been in business and – because if we didn't know them or we didn't have somebody that had been hunting with them or knew their company, we needed to know about them. We needed to know that they were, you know, a legitimate brand or outfit service. And focusing on that, I was nervous early on. I was like, man, how are we going to put 180, 200 people in the building on an invitation or referral basis only? You know, you invite 10 people, two might come in, right? So you can imagine the number of phone calls and emails Abe and I had to make those first 6 months. And we had a little bit we had a little bit higher rate than 10-20%. I think we ended up selling on a 50-60% rate flip, I would say, you know, that's once it kind of got rolling. But nonetheless, starting this show on those parameters, like Abe was saying, the foundation is built that way. No disrespect to the salsa companies, no disrespect to the jerky company. We don't need you yet, right? We don't need you right now. But we wanted to make sure that the essential elements of this show was valuable all the way up and down every aisle. Because you can go to some of these other shows and some of these big shows too, you can walk down a whole aisle and not even glance at a couple of booths and you're like, not interested, and you keep walking. We don't want that. We want you to have to stop every 10 or 15 feet, you know, and at least look, do a double check and, you know, and hopefully have some interest. So to make sure we put the right people in the building the first year, we were very, very concerned about that. And I'm happy with what, you know, the lineup we're putting out. We obviously, like Abe mentioned, we have companies that weren't able to come in, big companies that we really focused on because of time constraints. Some of these big brands, they're like, we forecast out a year in advance for a show. So it's too late. You know, we're talking to them 6-8 months ago. They're like, we can't get there. We want to get there. We can't get. So a lot of those brands are already, they're like, we want to be in for the second year. So, you know, put us on your list. So it's only going to get better, you know, with what we started with. And we're excited, man. We're getting messages every day still. I mean, we got 20 some people on a waiting list right now for exhibitor for this year.
still, I forgot to tell you, I've been adding to the list. We're over 35. Oh, I mean, I bet
you. I mean, I thought we were like 27, 28.
No, we're, I mean, put it to you like this. By the time our wait list hits, even as we expand, we're not going to be able to fit everybody. And we didn't like telling certain people no. It's just that Phil and I agreed early on, we wouldn't bring somebody into our expo for you to go book a hunt with or you to buy a product from that we wouldn't buy. I mean, and to be fair, like, you know, before I was going crazy with all my businesses for years, I was hunting 80, 90 days a year. And I was fishing the walleye tournament circuit like a maniac. And I still do all that stuff. This expo's cut into a little bit of that time. But at the same time, you know, and we have a lot of farms that we manage. And that kind of, the wildlife management takes away from the hunting time. It's the truth. But Phil also has two athletes for children. So in a good way, he's lost a lot of hunting time because, you know, when your kids are good athletes, you got to take them all over the country to compete, right? And so it'll all come for full circle. But for us, we don't want to put something in front of you that we don't want to see at a hunting expo. And fun fact, I did the math, okay? And it was something along the lines of, if you spent an average of 3 to 5 minutes at every vendor's booth at our expo, you would not be able to get through the entire expo in 3 days.
Damn. That's a lot. So, that's a lineup. I want you guys to talk about something. I want to talk about, why is it important that you vetted the companies for the consumer, but then also why is it important for the vendors? Because and your partners, right? Because there's a lot of cramming people into a room, and just that thought process alone makes me appreciate it even more that you're going through that. So let's talk about that a little bit.
I mean, go ahead, Phil.
I'll touch real quick on the outfitter side, right? And then I'll let Abe go into the products and maybe some of the other additional features. But on the outfitter side, one of the biggest things we said, hey, man, sorry, my dog's making him. One of the biggest things we've seen at other shows is if you have one category of outfitter, let's just take Africa, for example, okay? Because I think there's been a lot of oversaturation with the other local shows in that category. You put 30 African outfitters in a room, 35, it's too much, you know? How do you even, you don't have the time to go through and talk with each one of them, develop pros and cons. So what we did is based off people that we know that have hunted with some of these people and companies that have long-lasting relationships with being good exhibitors and outfitters, we got 5 on our showroom floor. So if you put that together, we wanted balance, right? We wanted limitations in category and balance. So now you got 5 good options in the African outfitting category. And now you can spend 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. If that's what you're looking to go book is an African hunt. Spend a day on the show, spend a couple days on the show, whatever you want. Just in that category, you spend an hour, hour and a half, and you've spent time with 5 good options. Maybe you focus on 3 good options. Now you have an easier decision, right? Because we've done some of the work for you. So just in that one category alone, Abe and I put limitation based off species, based off region, based off, you know, category that way. So there was no oversaturation of anything. And that's the one thing that, again, there's so much work that we put into this that most people won't be able to peel back the layers and understand it. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. As long as they see the value from it, then they don't need to understand the whole process. If they do decide to dive into that, great. Now you know why we did it a certain way. But at the end of the day, the value is for both the outfitter, because there's no oversaturation, and for the attendee and potential, you know, somebody booking a hunt, because it's narrowed down, it's a little bit filtered down, and it's an easier selection. Then go ahead, Abe. Like, on top of that, I mean, there's a lot more.
Well, I mean, Phil said it. You know, we did we tried to do as much of the homework from you before everyone, but not take away freedom of choice. We want people to go with who they want. We just don't want to give them any shitty options. We want to just give them a plate full of good options. And another thing real quick to touch on the outfitter side is also pertains to the manufacturer side. So the way we took an approach is, it's easy for us to be a big game heavy state, but the reality of it is, to those who aren't in the know, We are a very, very well-known, well-kept secret. It's not much of a secret. It's becoming less of a secret. We're a big bird state, right? Because of our eastern plains and our front range migrations. You know, we could do a little better out east on our upland birds, but we still have some pretty good quail hunting spots here and some decent pheasants. We're not Kansas or Nebraska yet. But when it comes to waterfowl, we have one of the best flyways in the country and some of the best places to hunt. And I even got Phil the bow hunter out this year to shoot some birds and his sons. So, you know, so we have it here and it's a great way to extend your season. But some guys are just hardcore waterfowl hunters that maybe go OTC archery elk once a year. Some guys are traveling all over the country, hunting as much big game as they can with, you know, their weapon of choice, and then they do some bird hunting at the end of the season. So we wanted to have something for everybody. And what worked for Phil and I is that we basically hunt every species with every weapon, from archery to muzzleloader to long-range rifle to feathers to fangs to fur to horns, all of them. You know, we literally hunt everything there is, and we fish almost every species you could fish for. So we got stuff for the fly fishing guys, the hard water guys, and the open water guys. Whether you're fishing open water on a boat or from the shore, whether you're fly fishing or you're just an ice fisherman, whatever you are, we've got you, we've got something for you there as well, and that'll continue to grow. But on the manufacturer side, you know, there is a lot of competition, which we like, in a lot of spaces. For example, we have a Zeiss and Leica coming in, but you know, the unsung champion, in my opinion, of optics is Maven, right? Maven is what once was the best kept secret in optics, and the cat's out of the bag now. Everybody knows that you can buy an extremely good piece of optics for a lot less money through Maven, right? And so, but we have that healthy competition there where we have them all there. In year two, we'll have even more. You know, the technical clothing side, for example, you know, we have One Shot Gear, who's one of the biggest Sitka gear dealers in the country, and they're bringing that in, of course. And they do Stone Glacier and all that, but, and they're a big optics dealer. But the flip side of that is we have, you know, First Light and Kuyu. And one of the big deals about Kuyu for me personally was I like their gear, but I don't like ordering stuff online, not being able to try it on. Mm-hmm. So we thought, okay, let's get Kuyu in the building so that you, those pieces of Kuyu that you wanted and you're not sure of your size or what to order, they're there, they're in the building. You can try it on so that before you order it, you know what fits you and what doesn't. What camo pattern or solid you like in person and what you don't. You know, we have the cutting edge of PAX, as we all know, is Kaparo, right? And not to say Stone Glacier is a great company, and there's a few good pack companies out there. Badlands is a great pack company. They're all there. Stone Glacier is being represented by One Shot Gear. They're not there themselves this year. However, Kaparo showed up, and they showed up big because, in my opinion, they are top dog in high quality packs and advancement. So we wanted to have, you know, options for everybody. What fits you, you know, and then on the bird side, you know, we wanted to have decoys. We've got Dave Smith decoys. We've got Higdon coming in. We've got you covered from full bodies down to silhouettes. And we've got real well-known and local or statewide call companies there, you know, from Power Calls to you know, call Mile High Note and Colorado Custom Game Calls.
That they build a really good goddamn foul call is the Colorado Custom.
Oh yeah,
holy
yeah,
they do. And them boys can blow them calls. Yeah,
those guys are very innovative. They got some cool. I could speak very highly of them. But you know, and then you have some guys that are also on the cutting edge that do everything, like Slayer. Right, Slayer has a couple different kinds of bugle tubes, and a lot of people think of Slayer as elk. But I'll tell you right now, I blew their goose calls and holy shit, their goose calls are really good. Yeah. Their duck calls are really good. I mean, they're high quality products. So, you know, we wanted to have something and some for everybody. And we went as far as, for example, upland hunters, right? You would think, oh, there's not a lot of gear for upland hunters. Yes, there is. Yeah. Upland hunting is very technical. So we brought in companies like High Plains Gear, who makes killer upland vests. And it seems like they're a little more geared towards the lighter weight, high mountain chukar hunting and partridge and, you know, like Montana and Northern Wyoming and that kind of stuff. But then we have Chief Upland. And Chief Upland, when it comes to things like upland vests, upland bush clothing, you know, canvas style pants, jackets, and they just launched a new turkey vest at NWTF's expo. It's been sold out since the second it came out. So very, very, Jake, the owner of Chief Upland's a very innovative guy. Another thing, you know, there's not a lot of places where you can go climb and let's say you're shopping for a blind, right? Well, you go here, they might have a redneck, and then you go to Nebraska and you can find a Banks blind or No Limits is actually always has Banks blinds. But what if you want to get in a Grizzly? You know, Grizzly Coolers has their line of blinds. So what did we do? We brought in the Banks, the Grizzlies, and the rednecks. So you can go climb up in all these blinds and really see what it feels like instead of just going off what your buddy said, right? And so we wanted to give people options on stuff that matters and stuff that counts. And I will say one thing that we haven't touched on yet, Phil, is one of my most favorite aspects of this expo. Some of these expos you go to, you know, you can, there's a lot of drawings, right? You can win a lot of stuff. And some of the prizes are really cool and some of them kind of suck. So Phil and I racked our brains and made a lot of emails and phone calls. And like I said, from the very beginning, we weren't going to do anything cheap. So we brought in, oh man, I couldn't even tell you how many high-end rifles in our drawings, high-end shotguns, custom-built stuff, stuff with scopes on it already, some of the best, hottest new autoloaders. I think our lowest grade drawing item is maybe $2,200 or something like that. And everything else, it goes up from there. Not to mention, we've got the newest bows in our drawing, and we've got some fully loaded bows from No Limits Archery, you know, brand new Hoyts and that kind of stuff, and Matthews and Elites and stuff. We've got Elite Bear bows in our drawings that, you know, it's the newest, hottest stuff. And obviously, with No Limits involved, we were able to get access to high-end and the newest archery equipment that you could ask for. So we're covering everybody.
Heck yeah. So, and one of the stand... Oh, sorry, go ahead. I thought you were done, Abe. Go ahead.
But the one thing I was going to touch on is our gear drawings are really cool. Like, you've never seen an expo in Colorado with this kind of stuff. But we have... How many hunts was it, Phil? Like 10 or 11 or... Just on the expo floor side.
I think it's about 10. Between 10 or 11 with the fishing trips and the hunts that we have. The excursion trips for everything.
So our trips that we have on our expo floor drawings, they are no joke. I'm talking, they are, all of our hunts are vetted and they are legit hunting trips. You know, these are $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000+ trips that you can win in a drawing, because we wanted to have something that you guys could, you know, that everybody who comes has a shot at a hunt that they maybe never want to pony up the dough to go on.
Or well, can't they've pony got, up.
Yeah. That's, you know, well, they've got a chance now.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of that, right? As guys put in, you know, those $5-$10 hunts, man, because that's their opportunity to get on that hunt.
Yep.
I want to talk about layout too, right? Because a lot of expos, if you look at, you know, their seminars and workshops, things like that, it's always out of the main area, right? So you end up, you kind of sacrifice one thing for the other, right? But it appears that you guys have put the workshop areas on one side, social areas on another. You got the main stage right in the middle at the top of the building. We'll talk about the podcast area here in a minute, since yours truly is going to be helping with that too. Why that setup? Why not separate the stage so you're kind of focused in on those things? So why'd you guys set it up that way to where everything is in that location, in the main hall?
You know, a couple of things, guys. The first things first, dealing with a resort like the Gaylord, you ask for this, you end up somewhere right here, right? And so we asked for more space. We wanted more. We wanted to be able to do more things. At the end of the day, they said, you need, this is where you could start with. You will have the ability to grow. So this is what you have to work with. We said, we'll take it, right? And The second part to that was there may be some changes that you see us do throughout the years. We'll see. We're going to try some new things. But this first year, we need to get as many people in the building as we can. For the exhibitor standpoint, for the attendees just to experience it and give us an opportunity to earn their business, right? So the goal this first year is jam-pack the whole weekend with activities, with like the calling contest, the seminars, the drawing areas, the falconry lady, Devin, to bring the birds and see that stuff. We've got a live artist going to be doing some live art on the floor, you know, having the podcast, putting all these elements together. So much of what we do as hunters and anglers is want to tell our stories, hang out with our buddies, meet new people, and socialize, right? The actual act of the hunt or the fishing trip or what have you ends up being a small part of it at the end of the day. You know, the stories you get that come from that, the interaction, and there's so many more moving parts to it, I guess. So for us to add all these elements and try to put as many people as we can in the building this first year, that was the goal. So initially, I don't think we didn't have a workshop area planned out. We had the main stage planned out. But as we started talking to different people with, hey, we want to have this person there. We want to have that person there. We want to have this subject, that topic covered. We looked at what we had. We're like, we don't have the room to do that on the main stage, right? So we had to add the workshop area. And then when we were working with the calling contests, you know, Abe and I were like, well, we have to put them here. And then it's like, you know what? These, because they do make a lot of noise, right? The calling contests, it's going to be loud. It said, you know, maybe that one element, we take that out of the main expo floor just because we just don't, again, we don't have enough time and space for everything. So that one element did have to get bumped out into a breakout room. But at the end of the day, man, we want to see everybody's face. We want to be able to see that what we put together is working. And again, we just want the opportunity to earn people's business, and getting them in there to see it all and experience it all was one of the primary goals.
Heck yeah. So podcast area. So we got two booths. One you could record up to, I think we planned for up to six. And then the other side, you know, two, three-ish. I mean, we can always bump those numbers up the way that we set that system up. It's we can add, which I thought was a cool element, right? Because generally speaking, you go to an expo and you got folks recording, you know, in booths or, you know, begging to get in booths. And this is set up to where here we are. We have this area. How are we doing? How are we doing on the sign up with that? How is that looking? And is that taking hold?
We've got a few people. Yeah, we've got a few people that have reached out, and I have not started to formalize time slots yet. So it's a good place to probably start kind of, you know, getting a little bit more into the detail. So if you're a podcaster and you want to come in with no affiliation, maybe you have affiliations, but you're not going to be set up in a booth. You don't have any formal business there other than networking and wanted to podcast. You get a hold of me or Abe, you know, our emails are, it's Phil at Mile High. You get a hold of Guy, Phil at Mile High Hunt Expo, Abe at Mile High Hunt Expo. Guy, what's your email again?
Guy@westernhuntfest.com.
So you can email Guy and just say, hey, I want to come in. I'd like to reserve a 2-hour block or reserve a 3-hour block, right? And then that way we can start to say, okay, he wants a 3-hour block, but we have 2 hours here. We have an hour there. And we can try to build out that schedule throughout the weekend to put people in the place to be able to give them some flexibility to record the show and have the stuff set up. Bring your memory card, your SD card, or, you know, the memory device that you need to record to. And that's really it, right? I mean, everything's going to be there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. I mean, we wanted to make it as simple as we could and maximize the opportunity. So having two different podcast booths there, I think one of the setups, I have it all kind of laid out with couches. It's kind of a casual couches setup. You know, a little coffee table, we can put the stuff on. The other one, I got more of a formal table with some chairs, kind of probably like what you might see normal at sit across the table from somebody type of setup, right? So we got a couple different setups there. And I'm telling you, I'm excited for that part of it because I don't watch a lot of TV. I watch a lot of YouTube, and what YouTube ends up turning it to be is listening to podcasts or watching podcasts, right, through that platform. And some of the other ones too that are out there, just the audio only. So that's my method of consumption of information and content is podcast/video. So to have a strong element of that and have your support to help us kind of organize that, I'm excited for that.
Yep. And then, you know, talk about, since we're talking about it and you know, folks bringing their SD card, you're talking a micro SD. I would, you know, recommend 32 on that card and top quality audio, right? The board that we got, you plug your SD card into that. You have all your faders. You just put your headphones on, put your SD in, hit record, and you're off. And I'll do my best to keep levels set that's appropriate for the environment, so you're getting the best audio quality possible as you're recording at the expo. So I'm pumped on that. I'm pumped on our freaking call comp, and we're excited about that. And that kind of kicks off the season for us with the Western Hun Fest events. Yep. And our call contest too. So, you know, that's kind of our primer going into it, man. And we were on the phone tonight, kind of going through schedule and whatnot. So, you know, we talked about conservation a little bit, and one of the things, and this is built around sportsmen and sportswomen. And one of the things I think it's important for all of us to talk about is the non-hunting demographic, right? I mean, especially here, the stuff that we're up against in Colorado has, I mean, they are, it's bad. That's all I'll say. It's bad. So, How do we bring folks in, right? How do we invite people? How do we get people through the doors that aren't involved, that may be a little less than curious and want to see? For me, I see a ton of things for those type of people to do, but are we reaching out? Can we reach out? Should we reach out and bring those people into the fold and let them experience a show like this?
All right, Abe.
Well, number one, I mean, one of the things that we've pushed first and foremost is this is for everybody. And when we say this is for everybody, this is also for people who don't currently hunt and fish, but want to. And that's one of the reasons we have a lot of fishing guide service options and hunting guide service options. And Phil went as far as to work, for example, with a company like Ancestral Hunt. Okay. Ancestral Hunting is a company that takes people out on their first hunting trips. And this is a good thing for us to have because, you know, we all get it. We've all gotten a bunch of people into hunting. And then at some point, you just want to go hunt. You don't want to kind of have to babysit, for lack of a better term. And so we wanted to have an open option for people to come, just people who don't hunt, to see what hunting is about. People who don't fish, to see what fishing is about and to see that they're welcome to do it. And if they want to get into it, we've provided a gateway for them to get into it, number one. And number two, if it's something that they have interest in, and I'll give you an example. I spoke to a gentleman from one of the radio stations we're working with who basically said, you know, I grew up hunting, stopped hunting, and my plan is when I retire, I want to get back into hunting. And I thought, well, what if there isn't any hunting when you retire? So, you know, those who don't hunt and fish right now, we've tried to make this to where they're welcome to come in and be involved in the conversation, because if they don't hunt or fish now, but they want to in the future, or they may have kids that want to, you have to protect that now. And that's where the conservation side comes in. So, you know, I've said this a million times, and I'm going to say it another million times. This is for us. This is for everybody. Whether you are currently an outdoors man or woman, or your grandfather was a hunter and you thought about getting into it, or, you know, your grandpa took you fishing a bunch when you were a kid, and then as an adult, you never did it. And now you may want to get back into it. Or maybe you want to take your kids, you know, hunting or fishing and get them off the iPad. This is the place where you find your beginnings. This is not just a place for seasoned hunters, but it is a place for seasoned hunters and anglers, new hunters and anglers, and just curious hunters and anglers who may or may not want to get into it. And that this environment will provide a place where they can learn about it, and they can also learn how to protect it, because that's how you really get behind something, is the future of it. You know, this expo isn't just about us. You know, we've had plenty of hunting and fishing in our days ahead. Phil and I are low-key playing hunting and fishing trips that we don't even know of. And at the end of the day, it's about Phil's young two boys, right? And everybody else's kids and my currently unborn children, right? Where when I have kids, I want them to have the same opportunities that I did. I mean, Phil could sit here and tell you 6 hours of stories of how he grew up rifle hunting, and that, you know, they went horseback and man, they killed some giant bucks and they always got their elk. It was a different time. And as that has slowly faded, it's up to guys like us to bring new hunters and anglers into the fold and get the education out there so that we can protect what we have and push to regain some of what we once had when it comes to access and land and tags and, you know, opportunities. So,
and man, they seem,
you know, and I'll add to that. Sorry, man.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So I'll add to that with my, you know, Abe, you're bringing up my boys, right? I spend a lot of time at their sporting practices, their events, the games, that kind of stuff. And I can tell you that I get to speak with a lot of other parents that are not involved in hunting or fishing. And a lot of them are very curious when they hear that, hey, I have a couple of businesses that are related to that. And, you know, some of them are very kind of, you know, a little bit uneasy with things. And as soon as you start to talk and just, they start to realize you're not some of that they have to worry about from a danger standpoint. This is something that is done with parameters and rules and regulations and education, and there's a process to being prepared for it. And they start to understand that, and they start to appreciate it a little bit more, right? The other thing that I wanted to add to that is my boys have been very lucky to, with me being involved with what I do, they're very well versed on a lot of things, hunting and becoming more familiar with fishing and that kind of stuff. So my kids are very lucky in that respect. But when they start talking, we start talking to their friends, you say hunting or fishing, and it's like their eyes light up. And some of these kids have never even been. They're like, I love to go. I want to go hunting. I want to go fishing, you know? And then you see their it's not their fault, but somebody, the way of life, the fast pace of life, most people have gotten out of that, you know, lifestyle, or they just don't partake in those activities anymore. But their kids, you put that in front of a kid, they're going to take to it like a fish to water.
That's right.
You know, and that's where, you know, having the ability to try to have a platform, you know, we have the archery activities with Mountain Archery Fest. We've got a simulator that's going to be on the shotgun rifle / simulator side where people can get to learn to shoulder a gun, you know, shoot some recurve, you know, moving targets. Understand that these tools and these devices, they're not that intimidating once you just try it, you know? Get out there and try it. There's some really good people to help teach that stuff. But I'm working with a group right now with some of Dominic, my oldest son, one of his training partners for wrestling. His dad has, and they have some friends that have a nonprofit with inner city kids. And I've been on the phone with him twice the last week about bringing in 12, 15 inner city kids to walk the floor, to learn about this stuff. All kids that don't have any experience with hunting and fishing, right? So to start doing more opportunities like that, to educate, inform, open their eyes to what's there. There's so much needs to be done. And in the process of that, like Abe was saying, you know, as far as going back to, I think your original question too, is how, you know, why everybody together? How are we going to be a voice for better direction or guidance? I think at the end of the day, a lot of us, and this was me for a long time, you pay your tags, you know, you go hunt, you pay your fees, wherever you need to go, fee your park passes, whatever you need to do. And you think, oh, I'm doing my part, mm-hmm. right? And we're not doing our part. We're being users of the resources and legally doing so, but that is the bare minimum.
Bare minimum.
That needs to be done, right? And then you start to look at what the next options are. And a lot of people, they don't want to be confrontational. Oh, I don't want to ruffle feathers. I don't want to be involved. Well, I think if you put enough people in the room together, in the building, and in the weekend, that aren't afraid to speak up a little bit, and not so much to be a loudmouth and an a-hole, but just to say, hey, we need to do better. We need to organize. We need to focus. We need to support each other. And it's okay, you know, to speak up and to say it out loud. And give some money to the groups and the organizations that need the help. And then I think it's going to be infectious where people are going to want to do more. Selfishly, they're going to see, or I mean, maybe not self, they're going to just look inside and say, you know what? I haven't been doing enough. I want to do a little bit more. And then if you get enough of those people to do a little bit more and a little bit more, then I think it's going to create my goal. And I think Abe, I can speak for Abe, to create a movement to where we can be a hub and a destination weekend spot for a lot of things, you know, education, information, and a good resource for the sportsmen and women to look to help with that education piece and that direction moving forward.
Yeah. Love it. So, yes, sir.
I may add one thing.
Absolutely.
So the one thing I wanted to add, I wanted to touch on, you know, we spoke about getting these kids in the outdoors. So one of the organizations involved in our expo is called the Mountains and Men. And I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but their main thing is they take kids who don't have a father. So, you know, raised by a single mother, that kind of thing. And they take them on their first hunting trips. And so they get these big ranches and they get the state to give them these tags and they outfit these kids and they teach them how to hunt and how to process and how to respectfully take the game, you know, thank it for its life and its blessing of sustenance that has come from this animal and learn the whole experience full circle. So, you know, there are a lot of great organizations like that that are building our future hunters. And so we got them involved in our expo. So you guys can expect to see organizations like that are helping our future hunters while we put things together like the town hall that educate and create awareness, because education and awareness is what spurs unity.
That's right.
Right? We can all, how much easier is it to get along with somebody if you have a common cause, right? And so if you have a common goal in mind, and that's what we're doing. We're creating an environment where we can all be as one. Because the truth is, a lot of these anti-hunting groups and this anti-hunting legislation, their philosophy is all the same, guy. It's divide and conquer, right? Well, what if we can't be divided?
There it is.
What if there is? Who are you going to conquer? Because they will not conquer us as a whole.
Facts so, right there, buddy. That was a hell of a mic drop. In my opinion. So April 4th, 5th, 6th, or excuse me, April 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Gaylord Center, Mile High Hunt and Fish Expo on Instagram, Facebook.com on the interwebs. You guys check it out. If you have any questions, reach out to Abe and Phil. When it comes to the podcast booth, I'm available as well. So drop the emails for that. And then mine was Guy at Western Hunt Fest. Happy to get the schedule going. I'll take care of getting that schedule going. Matter of fact, I'll get you guys something kicked out. And I already have a couple people that I talked to that are interested. So I'll get that rolling.
Vic.
But I appreciate it, boys. Yep. Can't wait to see you again and shake hands here in, you know, a couple weeks. I encourage everybody listening to come out, check out the show, all the offerings, all the amazing companies and partners. Swing by booth 328, check out Western Hunt Fest, get signed up for the shoot, sign up for that elk calling comp on Saturday, 12 to 2. Got, what, $1,500 first prize and some trophy stuff. Jeff loves freaking trophies, man. That boy drive me crazy with some damn trophies.
Man, he is good.
Yeah, he does come with it, man. And he'll call me, you know, call me and FaceTime me. Look at this. I mean, he just loves them damn trophies. And I'm like, bro, we need money.
Yeah. I know, but that guy, when it comes to trophies, that guy brings the heat.
Oh, dude, he's got it together for sure. We got some slammers for you guys. And then the slammers for Western Hunt Fest, man, it's all due to Jeff and his diligence through that. But gents, I appreciate the time, appreciate the opportunity to be a part of the show and our involvement with Western Hunt Fest and then Western Contours over on the podcast end. So appreciate you both greatly and look forward to headed over to the not so good side of the state, but you know, it's my opinion.
Well, thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
And we appreciate it for sure.
For being another platform that we could get our voice out there and tell everyone that they're welcome. And basically, if they miss out on this, they suck.
And see you next year. You don't want to miss it.
If you're lucky.
That's right.
Yeah, come be a part of it. It'll change your life. So, all righty.
Thank you.